that little four-letter word. I wonder what your thoughts are. When I say that word, soul, I just wonder what your immediate reflection is. Anyone? Would anyone just like to say what they think of when I say the word soul?
Empathy.
Depth.
Essence.
Intangible.
Personality.
Sort of circle.
Surrounding circle.
Conscience.
Consciousness.
So lots of different words there. Lots of different directions. I think the reason why I've just been reflecting on the word soul and this idea of the soul for quite a few months now. And in fact, I've been interested in the soul for many, many years, actually. Many years. I think I was trying to work out the other day when it was in my life that I started becoming interested in the idea of the soul. And I think it was when I was 17 and I went on a drama course near, I think it was in Winchester, and we did lots of drama exercises, and before our performance we were taught how to meditate. We were taught how to meditate so that we could calm ourselves down and get ourselves into a place where we could go and perform. And one of the exercises we were shown was where we had to lie down on the ground and systematically sort of kind of switch off the parts of your body, working from the toes up to the head. I don't know whether you've done that. It's like a meditation technique. And sometimes you visit the parts of your body by tensing up the muscles and then letting the tension go. And other meditations I've experienced since are just merely taking your awareness to those parts of the body. You don't use any muscles. You're just taking you're focusing your mind. But anyway, I did this first when I was 17, and I had these incredible experiences of feeling very separate from my body. And I felt that I had a kind of essence that was completely outside or not dependent on the physical body. And I was quite inspired, possibly even freaked out at that age, as you can imagine. I think I put lots of Pink Floyd on to try and make sense of it. And I think ever since, I guess I've sort of believed that I have this, that there's part of me that is not limited to biology or to cells or to time. Something of me that is beyond. And I think that's a feeling that I have of every living thing. And I read quite a lot of Carl Jung's stuff as well in my 20s. And he, of course, he said a lot of fascinating things about the soul. I think he believed very strongly in the soul. He said, one of his quotes, he said, "I simply believe that some part of the human self or soul is not subject to the laws of space and time." That's how he put it. And Oscar Wilde, who certainly went through huge challenges in his life, he said, "Ordinary riches can be stolen. Real riches cannot. In your soul are infinitely precious things that can never be taken away from you." So I think probably that belief certainly would have helped him in his time in prison. And then I think since that age, when I was 17, I think I probably, a lot of my friends, when I talk about the soul, I mean, not that the soul comes up that often when I'm talking to friends in the pub, but occasionally when it does come up, I get a sense that a lot of people don't believe in the soul and find the whole idea a bit romantic or a bit strange, really. So I think over the years I've probably kept my views to myself a little bit. And then earlier this year, I lost a very close friend. And he had a very strong faith, a very strong Christian faith. And he, in his dying months, he was suffering from, he had skin cancer. And he, in his dying months, his faith became stronger and stronger, as far as I could see. And he talked very clearly, with huge clarity, about going on to another world, going on to heaven, going on to be with God. And we had long, long chats about this. And there was something about his absolute certainty about it. It wasn't a hunch, it wasn't a sort of poetic hunch where he thought maybe, you know, there's a life beyond this one. But it was a, when he talked about it, it was as, it seemed, you know, his belief seemed as physical as his bones, as his flesh. And in his, on his, you know, his last few days, he talked about walking to heaven and walking to beyond, walking to the next life, and greeting those people that he was missing on the other side. And he talked incredibly powerfully. And that has been with me for the last few months. It's just been, I've just been reflecting on it more and more and more. For him, this absolute certainty. And it's made me, it's made my faith and my views about soul, about God, about this life, about other lives, it's made me reshift things. It's changed my perspective. But I think, and I've been exploring a little bit over the last few months, and I think that the belief in the soul is not fashionable at the moment in our society. Douglas Adams, a great writer, he famously asked the question, he said, isn't it enough to see that a garden is beautiful without having to believe that there are fairies at the bottom of it too? And in a way, you know, he's very cleverly saying there, with this world of wonder and beauty and joy, why do we need to have beliefs of things like the soul and entities like God or heaven? None of that is necessary. He argued his points in a very joyful, convincing way, I thought, Douglas Adams. And then, well, while I'm on the subject of quotes, there is a good quote from Woody Allen, actually, on the soul, where he said, I was thrown out of college for cheating on the metaphysics exam. He said, I looked into the soul of another boy. I just had to say that. But what I would say is, although belief in the soul is not, I don't think is in vogue at the moment, advertising, I would say, uses soul language so much. Everywhere, you know, some of their quotes, you know, some of their, you know, like, you've got a spirit clothing, which seems to be talking about spirits. You've got eternity perfume. In fact, perfumes, the brand names of perfumes, almost every single one seems to be to do with spirituality, the afterlife, with, you know, I mean, perfumes are so religious in their imagery. They've stolen religion, they have. They really have. Hook, line and sinker. And then the other day, I was shocked because I bought some socks. This is absolutely true. I bought some socks. They were nice ones, quite stripy socks. I was quite pleased with them. And then I noticed, printed on the sole of the socks, it said, live for the soul. Live for the soul. So there we have it. You know, even socks, even socks manufacturers are using soul language. And well, you know, if you look at alcohol advertising, cars and building societies and banks, so much of their imagery seems to be about connection, well-being, searching for a deep sense of community and connection with other living things and other human beings. That's all the imagery. It's all there. And I would say it's very much a soul imagery that's being harnessed to sell products. So I suppose what I'm saying is that maybe as a society we've given up with ideas of the soul in an official sense, certainly in an organized religious sense, but you know, other people are using the soul language for their own reasons and needs. So although the soul is not fashionable, I would say everywhere you go, it's not just branding, but in lots of other places, in very surprising places. And I've noticed that a lot of sports people, sports men and women, when they celebrate, often look to heaven and often cross themselves. Footballers do it all the time. I mean, I don't know whether footballers, I didn't think they were notoriously well known for their religious views and being very religious people, the average footballer. But footballers, when they score goals, the number of times they look up to heaven to somehow thank heaven for scoring that goal. So I would say right across the Premiership, I know some of you are quite into the Premiership, next time you watch a match, I guarantee there'll be loads of soul stuff going on. And children as well. I mean, some of you know I'm a teacher, and it's incredible how you ask young children, particularly, about concepts such as the soul, or God for that matter, and not always, but I would say the vast majority of the children I come into contact with, when I ask them whether they believe in the soul, very often they'll say, yes, of course, yeah, I believe in the soul. They will look at me as if I'm a bit mad even asking them the question. So what's that about? Have children been brainwashed by overly religious, eager parents? Or is it something that they've noticed or picked up on? I don't know. Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Very, I think, one of his most powerful statements. I would say here that he's saying that if we have the eyes of children, if we have that intuitive spirit, that openness about seeing life and being alive to what's out there, that quality, that approach to life can bring us near to this idea of the kingdom of heaven. I think that's what he's saying there. That's my own take. And if you look at education, you know, sadly I think the soul is being thrown out of education, and you know, I would say for decades now education seems to be sort of regimentally tested. You know, we seem to have obsessions with standards and assessments and tests and testing at the moment in our schools. And I just wonder whether if we're asking teachers to put all their energy into testing and assessment, I just wonder whether there's much room for the idea of encouraging children to be creative and be artistic and to explore those parts of their lives that they can't prove or disprove. And again, bring them in contact with this stuff we might call the soul. And finally, I invite you to have a quick look at the painting that you've got. And I would say that some artists over the years have been incredibly determined in their search for the soul. You could say that Marc Chagall, Vincent van Gogh, Mark Rothko are all artists who seem to be able to paint the soul very well. And Leonardo da Vinci was certainly such an artist. Apparently he was not a religious man, not a very strongly religious man. He was a painter, sculptor, an architect, a musician, a scientist, the list goes on. We also know that he was a very keen anatomist. And apparently one reason why he wanted to sketch inside the human body, which was something that I think he was one of the first artists to want to do that. And of course many people, you know, many church people were very against this. And he got into a lot of trouble, I think, for looking inside the human body. He particularly wanted to look inside the human head. And he did some beautiful drawings, some of the earliest drawings of the brain, of the human brain. And one reason, apparently, why he looked inside the human skull was he believed that inside the human skull was where the soul existed. Where he thought the seat of the soul existed. And that's why he wanted to look inside the human head. Which I think is a really interesting idea. And then this painting, just very briefly, I think is full of soul. Because it breaks so many rules of the day. And the commission he received to do this painting, The Virgin of the Rocks, this one which is in the Louvre, the commission came from the Confraternity of the Immaculate Conception, which was a lay brotherhood in 1483. And they set him a very lengthy, long contract to do this painting. And the contract said the Virgin was to be portrayed to perfection in a gown of gold brocade, in deep blue, lined in green. God the Father was to be depicted overhead, accompanied with angels, with golden halos, flanked by two prophets, and the Virgin was to be presented without her child. So that was his contract. That was the contract. And as you can see, Leonardo has just completely done something entirely different. Entirely. For a start, the image, the story that this image is based on, doesn't appear in the Bible at all. It doesn't even appear in the Apocrypha, the ancient works considered but ultimately rejected for the inclusion in the Bible. But from a completely different source. This picture is, apparently itself tells the story of the ancient story that Mary and her son Jesus met Elizabeth and her son in the wilderness under the protection of the angel Uriel. So on the right hand figure there is the angel Uriel, bringing them protection. And this was immediately after the massacre of the innocents. So he's gone for a story that is not accepted at all. It's a sort of rebel story, a completely rebel story. That's Mary, the central figure is Mary. She's got that lovely hand over Jesus, blessing him. Jesus is blessing John, who's on the left there. And John's got the praying hand. So John is praying to Jesus. And as far as I can see, Elizabeth isn't in the painting. That's my understanding of it. Now, just very briefly, there's no halos in there at all. So Leonardo has dispensed with halos completely. My guess is that he was probably believing, you know, they're human beings. They don't need halos. We don't need to put halos everywhere to decide who's holy and who isn't holy. Mary is very simply dressed. And the scene occurs in a beautiful wilderness, far from the architecture of any church doctrine. The landscape is full of caves and mysterious rocks. Maybe this symbolizes a feminine god, a god free from religion, a Holy Spirit living in the natural world, sustaining families and all families. I could go on, but anyway, that's just a few pointers there. And so I would say, just to finish, this painting is full of soul. It might look a bit traditional to us in some ways, but in its time, it broke so many rules. So just to finish, I'm just going to ask the question. In our topsy-turvy, crazy and beautiful world we live in, we may wonder about our future. Will the belief in the soul wilt away as we allow our lives to become more and more mechanized and automated? Or will there be a resurgence of belief in aspects of life that we can never prove or copyright? And maybe whether or not we believe in the soul, literally, I would argue that the idea of sensing that all living things have something sacred in their heart, in their middle, is not a bad belief to have in this world. It may just prompt us to look after ourselves and each other more carefully. Amen. Thank you.